In this episode, get the latest video remarketing information about Google and YouTube.
Discover how video can help you achieve your sales and marketing goals. It all starts right here in Todd Hartley's Video Marketing Mastery. Brought to you by WireBuzz.
Hey now, what is up? All right, I've been on this long speaking tour in Europe, and it's been really remarkable, a wonderful opportunity. I actually screwed up in the numbering. Anytime things revolve around numbers, my dyslexic mind is going to screw it up one way or another. But I definitely screwed it up. I recorded episode 151 before I recorded episode 48. And don't ask me how or why, but that's just, I got confused on what number I was on. So when I was in Sweden, speaking in Gothenburg, I interviewed a good friend of the podcast, and that'll come up in episode 151. And now a couple days later, I'm in Prague, spoke in Prague, then worked with clients for a full day, had a crew out there. We did a shoot for clients. It was a double whammy. The shoot was easily 2 terabytes worth of video, couple of cameras, all 4K. I was shooting B-roll in the room throughout the day during a couple of sessions. And when I say a couple of sessions of speakers, I actually mean 17 speakers throughout the day. And we were just in that room, just crushing it. And I was just really grateful to get to work with that client. It's a client from the States that sends us all over El Mundo to help them capture their latest information and market it back out to their customers so we can better educate their customers. And along my trip, a giant in my past passed away. I want to spend a few moments, pay a little bit of respect to somebody who did a lot for me. And well, you know how I start each episode? I've never explained why I start off the way I do, but I've got a series of hey nows, or what is up, right? Or hey-o. So why do I do that? Well, I do that because I'm paying homage. I'm from the radio industry. You know, that's where my career got started. I was a former talk show host on the number one and number two stations in Arizona. And when I grew up in Los Angeles and I would turn on the radio, I had two of the biggest legends in radio history, Vin Scully with the Brooklyn Dodgers and the Los Angeles Dodgers. He did 67 or 68 years calling games. And also Chick Hearn from the Lakers, who called games in Minneapolis when they were the Minneapolis Lakers and then the Los Angeles Lakers. And their broadcasts were on in my grandparents' home growing up. My grandparents grew up in Brooklyn, so they grew up listening to Vin. They moved to LA, the Dodgers and Vin followed them, and my family had a long love affair with LA broadcasters. And when I'm starting off a program with a hey-o, that is, I'm paying homage to The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson. Or when I start off with a hey now, I'm acknowledging the king of all media, Howard Stern. Or if I go, what is up, what is up? I'm starting the way a former boss and client of mine, Jim Rome, from The Jim Rome Show, welcome to the jungles, everybody, at the beginning of his show. But one of the other giants in my career, and there are many, you know, I worked on 7 of the largest nationally syndicated talk shows and led their digital marketing way, way back in the day in the early 2000s. But one of my clients and colleagues passed away, and I'd like to start this episode paying homage to him. From the high desert in the great American Southwest, I bid you all good morning, good day, good evening, or whatever the case may be across the many time zones. This is Coast to Coast AM, and I'm Art Bell. Well, I'm not really Art Bell, but recently, longtime American talk show host and former colleague of mine, Art Bell, passed away. The New York Times reports Art Bell, an apostle of the paranormal, whose voice drew millions to his late-night radio soapbox, beamed from the Mojave Desert, died on Friday at his home in Pahrump, Nevada. Art, 72 years old. And from his home, where he broadcasted out of a double-wide trailer home 65 miles west of Las Vegas, Art Bell's personality filled a very dynamic show. Unscreened telephone calls on 5 telephone lines. And Art went on to talk with you for 5 hours each night across the Premier Radio Network, where I worked for 4 years, on a show called Coast to Coast AM that he found, and then later George Norrie took it over for him. And at its peak, when I was there, the show broadcasted on 500 stations, reaching as many as 10 million listeners a week. Art Bell was once the third largest radio talk show host with the third largest audience in America after Rush Limbaugh and Dr. Laura Schlesinger, who were also Premier Radio Network hosts. And as a big part of both my early career and as a on-air personality on News Radio 550 KFYI, Art was also on that station with me. And when Art returned to the air after a year hiatus dealing with a very personal family issue, KFYI came to me and asked me to host the live special broadcast, a 2-hour Welcome Back to the Air Art Bell special program. And I was honored to do that. And for years, there were some KFY listeners who I would run into around town, or they'd hear my voice in a restaurant, or they'd sit next to me and we'd start talking. They'd hear my name and they'd know who I was and they'd go, "Hey, were you the guy who did that Art Bell special?" And I was honored that if that was the only way they knew me, they would know me from Art Bell. From the high desert is the way he'd always start off his show. And then when I was working at the Premier Radio Networks on the digital marketing team, I got to lead marketing campaigns for the show that he founded with Coast to Coast AM. And I'm honored to have worked with Art and George Norrie. And he was just really instrumental in my career. George was instrumental in me getting hired at Premier. But that's a story for another day. I'm honored to have worked with Art. Rest in peace, my friend. Now, prior to helping the Coast to Coast team, I was an investigative reporter. And when people want to persuade you from investigating something, they always try to shame you by saying something like, "Oh, well, that's a total conspiracy theory." And if you're concerned about your credibility, if you want to be taken seriously, you should really, stay away from conspiracy theories. And oh, how they try to shame you in the process. In 1997, I was driving home. I was waiting tables back then. I was driving home from a late night shift at a restaurant, and Art Bell was on the radio. You know, he would reserve open lines on his, some nights out of the week. He would say, "Tonight, I'm going to open up one line. This number, only call if you work at Area 51 and you've got something to share. Only people on this number call Area 51. And you won't believe what happened on the night I was driving my car. Well, Art received a phone call. He sure did. Art received a phone call from a frantic man who's claiming that he worked at Area 51. Area 51 is like this major research area, right? In the desert, where they say the aliens are. And the call did not appear to be a hoax. Instead, in a eerie sound of truth, the call was somehow knocked off the air. Could it be a government plot, or the aliens silence him or to keep the people from knowing the plans of what was going on at Area 51, will you be the judge? Here's that call I listened to in 1997 when it happened live.
Hello, and you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, Art?
Yes.
Hi. I don't have a whole lot of time
Well, look, let's begin by finding out whether you're using this line properly or not.
Area 51.
Yeah, that's right. Were you an employee or are you now?
A former employee. I was let go on a medical discharge about a week ago, and I've kind of been running across the country. Oh man, I don't know where to start. They'll triangulate on this position really, really soon.
Well, you can't spend a lot of time on the phone, so give us something quick.
Okay. Okay, what we're thinking of as aliens are they're extra dimensional beings that an earlier precursor of the space program made contact with. They are not what they claim to be. They have infiltrated a lot of aspects of the military establishment, particularly the Area 51. The disasters that are coming, the government knows about them, and there's a lot of safe areas in this world that they could begin moving the population to now, Art.
But they're not doing anything.
They are not. They want the major population centers wiped out so that the few that are left will be more easily controllable.
Discharge.
The call starts breaking up. And then
I started getting it.
And then Art Show lost the signal. Look, it's wildly entertaining, right? I'm not interested in talking about it being real or not or whatever. What I am interested in doing is giving you just a little bit of taste of this amazing talk show host who talked about Are We Alone in the Universe and Is There Life After Death, and how cool it was 2 years later after driving home from waiting tables to be working with him on KFYI. What a real honor. Now, after being on the investigative news team that broke five of the largest scandals in Arizona history, or having unmarked vehicles following me around, or watching the government release just the latest information that came out even this week about the assassination of John F. Kennedy, my knee-jerk reaction to the term conspiracy theory is to be more interested. I just get more interested because someone is trying to shame me from knowing what really happened. I don't need anybody's permission or their approval to do my own research and to come home to my own conclusion. And the reason is my primary motivator has always been truth, which, just like the bubbles at the bottom of a glass of champagne, truth always bubbles to the surface. And when the truth is revealed, you have to remember who told you to stay away. Rest in peace, Art Bell. Thank you for so many years of amazing broadcasts. Well, I'm here in Prague, and I shot a video earlier today that'll be pushed out real soon. And somebody came up to me and they asked me for a couple of questions in the crowd. And I think I'm going to do a podcast episode just out of that topic. And you'll see that coming up in a couple of episodes down the road. I'll give you a little hint of what the topic is, though. There's a way to use video in your sales presentations, and it's not when you're face-to-face. But there's a video marketing opportunity of how you follow up after that proposal presentation with your prospects. That's three P's, man. Too hard to say in a sentence. After that proposal presentation with your prospect, I'm going to show you how to use video to close deals at faster rates. I do it all the time. Wait for it. It's coming up in a future episode. Oh, and this is interesting. And while I'm reading this story, try and guess what's interesting to me. Okay, here goes. Google will resume accepting ads from addiction treatment centers following rampant abuse. The Verge reports, Google plans to resume accepting advertisements from alcohol and drug addiction treatment centers following a lengthy period review. Reuters reports, Google originally stripped rehab-related search terms from advertising on its AdWords platform last September, following an investigation from The Verge detailing how misleading information from disreputable treatment centers were gaming Google's algorithm to boost incoming patient numbers. You mean people are gaming the Google algorithm to get increased customers? Dun, dun, dun. Who would have thought, right? That something could ever happen like that. I mean, that's the whole history of the internet. I mean, one of my first times speaking at Search Engine Land's conference, SMX, was about that topic way, way back in the day. Google says that ads will now be vetted directly by Portland, Oregon-based LegitScript, which monitors online pharmacies for the National Association of Boards of Pharmacy to prevent abuse and unauthorized selling of prescription medication. Okay, this is interesting. The company that monitors pharmacies to prevent abuse and unauthorized selling of prescription medication is qualified to track alcohol and drug addiction treatment centers to make sure that they actually have in-person rehab facilities and crisis hotlines and support groups. Okay, not sure how those two different specialties have relatable crossover, but that's cool. Fine, whatever you want to do. The rules also mirror those Google has put in place for services like locksmiths and other in-person repairs that could potentially lead to theft or burglary. Wait. Google has rules for locksmiths to protect against theft and burglary? You know you've thought about that before, haven't you? Like, if that strange lock-picking guy in that silly van came to break into your car and then 30 seconds he's in your car, what good is a key, right? You've had that thought. Well, Google's already had that thought too. As part of the LegitScript evaluation, treatment centers must meet a 15 criteria ranging from criminal background checks to insurance verification, as well as written policies and procedures demonstrating a commitment to best practices, effective recovery, and continuous improvement. LegitScript plans to charge $995 for an initial verification and then nearly $2,000 a year to update the verification, Reuters reports. Wait a second here. Why is the initial charge $995 and then the renewing fee every year is $2,000? Like, wouldn't pricing make more sense if the initial setup charge, because it's initial and there's probably maybe 10 minutes more of work, wouldn't the initial setup charges be more than the renewal fees? Feels like the initial setup charge would require like more time than the renewal. Anyway, Google is going to run ads for alcohol and drug addiction treatment centers. Cool. I don't have a problem with that. But wait a second here. Could that be a HIPAA violation? We got a lot of clients in the medical space. So that HIPAA acronym is thrown around my office all the time, more than WTFN. For those who are over the age of, let's say, 53, in a moment, I'll explain what WTFN means. But do you know what HIPAA is? HIPAA. It's spelled H-I-P-P-A. The Health Insurance Portability and Accountability Act. H-I-P-A-A. Oh, wow. Dyslexia kicked in. It totally kicked in on me. I've always struggled with this word, and I just proved it right there. When I spelled it for you, I added an extra P and decreased an A. The correct spelling is H-I-P-A-A, the Health Insurance Portability and Accountability Act. Proof right there. There's two A's. And it sets the standard for sensitive patient data protection. Companies that deal with protected health information, also known as PHI, protected health information, must have physical, network, and process security measures in place to follow them and ensure HIPAA compliance. Basically, it's illegal for a business to leak out your PHI. Basically, It's illegal for a business to leak out your PHI, your protected health information. And in almost every one of our medical clients, we will have some conversation at some point about how what we're recommending comes into alignment with their HIPAA policy. So I saw this story about Google, and I created this episode about remarketing. Is Google going to provide remarketing options for advertisements for alcohol and drug addiction treatment centers? If you just said, what's this remarketing thing that you speak of? Well, according to Google, remarketing shows ads to people who have visited your website or used your mobile app. Let's just break down that word. It's not marketing, it's remarketing, meaning it happens after the initial marketing, remarketing. So when people leave your website without buying anything, for example, remarketing helps you reconnect with them by showing relevant ads across their different devices. Now, you have to be asking, why is this informative, Todd? Now, you've got to remember at the beginning, I said that this is either informative or interesting. And so you've got to be saying, why is this informative? It sure ain't interesting. Well, if Google allows for remarketing of people who clicked on the advertisements from alcohol and drug addiction treatment centers, anybody that uses that person's computer or sat near them at Starbucks or work would see the remarketing ads on the sides of their browser or across the top in a horizontal banner ad or a skyscraper or any of these kind of these remarketing ads that pop up. Anybody would see the remarketing ads for alcohol and drug addiction treatment centers all over that person's device. And that could potentially be a violation of PHI, Protected Health Information. Got it? Now, I'm sure Google's already thought this out, but it sure is interesting, and I hope that was informative. Now, go to Twitter and tweet at the Todd Hartley, because that's me, and put in there, the addiction treatment center story was interesting, valuable, both interesting and valuable, or neither. All right? I want to know if you thought that was interesting, if it was valuable, if it was both interesting and valuable, or not valuable or interesting. Go do it now. At the Todd Hartley, hit me up. Let me see what you got. The HuffPo is reporting, California police have released body camera footage of YouTube shooter Nazim Agdam in her car in Mountain View, California, calmly telling officers that she wasn't going to hurt anyone just hours before she opened fire at the YouTube headquarters on April 3rd. Three people were wounded in that shooting later that day at the YouTube offices in San Bruno, about 30 miles away. Agdon, 39, died at the scene of a self-inflicted gunshot wound, according to police. Now, Agdon was apparently asleep in the backseat of her car in a parking lot in Mountain View when police officers spotted her shortly after 1:30 a.m. Now, police called in her license plate number and discovered she had been reported missing by her family in San Diego. A male and female officer, they knocked on the window and the car and asked Agdam if she was aware that her family was searching for her. Quote, we didn't get along together, so I left them, Agdon explained, adding that she drove straight to Mountain View from San Diego the previous day, asked if she wanted to hurt herself or anyone else or commit suicide. Agdon responded, quote, no. Asked why she picked Mountain View, Agdon said, quote, I wanted to sleep around here. I wanted to get out of those areas, out of San Diego. I have memories I don't want to have, she said, and she wanted somewhere new with no memories about the past. She said she wasn't on medication. Police found no other official alerts about Agdon and left her, but they called her father, Ismail Agdon, to tell him that she had been located. Now, he thanked them, but later called to say Agdon was upset about YouTube and may have been in the area for that reason. Police said he did not want to warn them about any possibility of violence. Now, police did not ask her if she had a gun, but the 9mm handgun she used in the shooting was purchased legally, and she went on a shooting range later that day before heading over to the YouTube offices. Now, why am I bringing this up? Because I've been telling you about
El Beso de la Muerte, the kiss of death.
And I've been telling you about censorship and how it works in very negative ways. That's why it deserves the name the kiss of death. And how it turns your fans, your audience, into raving conspiracy theorists. Do you understand? This is why I started the show about conspiracy theories. Coast to Coast AM, Art Bell, Area 51,
El Beso de la Muerte,
and looped it right back to YouTube and their policy about censorship. Whenever you do it, bad things happen. Speaking of Google, YouTube, and video remarketing, it's been a while, so let's spend a few moments and go a little deeper into remarketing. Google explains the benefits this way. The benefits of remarketing, whether you're looking to drive sales actively or you increase registrations or promote awareness for your brand, remarketing can be a strategic component of your advertising. Access to people when they're likely to buy. Okay, that's one of the things. You want to access people when they're likely to buy. You can reach people who've interacted with your business. You can advertise to them when they're searching, visiting other websites, and using other mobile apps. And so I'll give you an example of this. Real world practical example from Todd's life. In 2013, my mi amor, love of my life, was diagnosed with breast cancer. And as shocked as we were, like anybody else, once you get your head back on straight, and I'd be candid to tell you that we're approaching the 5th year anniversary in June of my wife's diagnosis. You never really go back to normal. But we started doing our own research. My wife's biggest fear was not surgery. Her biggest fear was chemotherapy. And she told me she was going to run away from home if she had to do chemo. And I believed her. I could see it in her eyes. That's just not her thing. And it was pretty clear to me that I needed to start doing some research. So I started looking around and I saw on the Genomic Health website, asterisk right here, footnote, they are a client of mine. I've been advising them since day one and I'm honored to be a part of their team. So I was on the Genomic Health website and I saw that not every patient needs chemotherapy. I was like, well, that's pretty cool. Not every breast cancer patient needs chemotherapy. Maybe Wendy doesn't need chemotherapy, right? But chemo doesn't come in my wife's circumstance, until roughly about week 5, week 6 of diagnosis. It comes after surgery in her scenario. So while I was researching, I knew I wouldn't have to pull all my information together and we could look it over together. In week 5 or week 6, we're going to have to make a decision of what we're going to do. And that's where remarketing came in. Because I went to their website, Genomic Health's, and then they started remarketing to me. And as I went to ESPN or the USA Today, or I went to The Onion or whatever I was doing on the internet, sure enough, on the right side column, in a skyscraper or in a horizontal banner ad, not every patient needs chemotherapy. And I kept seeing it. Like, oh, that's good. I'm glad it's there. I'll get to that later. And in almost every buying situation, unless it's an impulse purchase, you don't buy it the first time. And your business should be doing the same thing, using remarketing whenever possible. You can create remarketing lists for specific cases. For example, a list targeted to people who added something to their shopping cart but didn't complete the transaction. You can create large-scale reach. You can reach people on your remarketing list across their devices as they browse over 2 million websites on mobile apps. You can create high-performance remarketing campaigns with automated bidding. Real-time bidding calculates the optimal bid for the person viewing your ad, helping you win the ad auction with the best possible price, and there's no extra cost to use Google's auction. You can produce text, image, and video ads for free with Ad Gallery. You can combine a dynamic remarketing campaign with Ad Gallery layouts to scale and beautiful ads across all of your products or services. You'll have the reports of how your campaigns are performing, where your ads are showing up, and what price you're paying. So you want to show ads to previous visitors who are actively looking for your business on Google search. And the ways to remarket with Google AdWords, well, there's standard remarketing, where you get to show ads to your past visitors as they browse sites and apps on the display network. That's just like what happened on the Genomic Health site. How do I know? Because I set it up for them in 2010, but it was a long, long time ago. And then it started, I started retargeting and remarketing to myself when I was the patient or my wife was. So that's standard remarketing. Let's talk about dynamic remarketing. Boost your results with dynamic remarketing, which takes remarketing to the next level with ads that include product or services that people viewed on your website or your app. You can also create remarketing lists for search ads. You can show ads to your past visitors as they do follow-up searches for what they need on Google after leaving your website. And then video remarketing is a subset of this. You can show ads to people who've interacted with your videos or YouTube channel as they use YouTube and browse display network videos, websites, and apps. Let's talk a moment about the customer list remarketing. With Customer Match, you can upload lists of contact information that your customers have given you. When those people are signed into Google, you can show them ads across different Google products. All right, there's a big way of using this. Now, using remarketing lists for video campaigns is something that all of you should at least have a little bit of an understanding on. And I want to make sure that when you're talking about optimizing your sales process, that starts with marketing. And if you're on a sales team, you have to understand that most of your marketing colleagues won't understand this. So bring it to them, because remarketing helps you finish and close the loop. A lot of times, marketing online, people say, oh, it's so incomplete. You can't compute the ROI. You can't figure out if there's actually going to be a return on this investment. And the problem they're experiencing is it's a lot like tying a shoe and not having your laces tied up and having them open. And when you have remarketing and you can tie everything back, you can then start tying up those laces, all right? So here goes. Before you begin, you can use remarketing for video campaigns, and you need to link your YouTube account to your AdWords account. And you can do this from either the YouTube channel or from within your AdWords account. I'll make sure that there's a link and you can see how to link your YouTube and your AdWords account on the show notes page for this episode. What is it? Wirebuzz.com/148. Now, the next time I ask you what is the URL for this episode, you're going to say it out loud with me. You are. I'm just setting it up right now, okay? Well, I'm going to ask you about episode 148 later on. We're going to drop the URL. We're going to do that all together. Practice makes perfect. Think about it in your head, but don't take too long, because it's going to come up at any moment. So here's how it works. You can create a remarketing list from only one channel or from videos within a single channel. And once you're done, you can combine remarketing lists to reach a customer audience. So let me give you an example. Let's say you're promoting the DVD release for a movie. That's cool. I've got to do that before. You know, early days of Wirebuzz, we got offered a first-time movie makers docudrama. Yeah, that's what it was. And he needed us to help him sell out 3 nights at a test theater that happened to be in Scottsdale, Arizona, down the street from our office. He had heard the work that we had done. He approached me because at that point we had really hit some significant home runs. And so he needed to sell out 3 nights at a test theater. And Marcus Krieg and I and the Wirebuzz team, we ended up selling out 5 straight weeks for him. Because we're far too competitive. We're like the most competitive people you've ever met. And that was a lot of fun. And he earned international distribution rights from that theater. Now, so if you've got like you're promoting a DVD release for a movie, you can combine separate remarketing lists to reach people who viewed your movie trailer but have not seen your video ad promoting the DVD. You can create as many video remarketing lists as you want. You can even create copies of the default list that you created, and you can use video remarketing lists to target your standard text ads or image ads, even across the search and display network of Google. Now, keep in mind, it's important to be careful using multiple types of targeting. Really screws up your accounting, but you have to be very careful. So that's why I just dropped that caveat. If you use more than one targeting method at a time, like AdWords will apply them all. But for example, if you target a specific keyword, age, and channel, your ads will only be shown when all those methods match your ad at the same time. And this can restrict your impressions significantly. Therefore, it's not recommended to pair remarketing lists with multiple types of targeting, like demographics or interests. It's best to target broadly and opt in to all video formats. Now, I'm going to put the instructions on how to do this on the show notes page for this episode. Get ready, here we go. And you can get access to it at wirebuzz.com/148. See, that wasn't that hard. So if you want to get access to the instructions that cover how to create video remarketing lists in your AdWords account, just go to the show notes page and I'll make sure it's posted there. Now, let's spend a few moments about remarketing to YouTube viewers. I know there's a lot of listeners that use YouTube as a platform, and I want to spend a few moments just breaking that down. You can show personalized ads to millions of your viewers across YouTube and video partner sites based on their past interactions with your video, your videos, or your YouTube channel. This is known as, in quotes, video remarketing, end quote. And by reinforcing your message with people who have already seen your videos or your channel, you're more likely to succeed in increasing your return on investment. And quite frankly, that's what this is all about. Nobody approaches me and says, oh, we love video. You know what they say? We really need ROI. Don't F this up. So I break this down so you don't F it up. Let's talk about the benefits. Improved ROI. Advertisers who use remarketing on YouTube have improved their return on investment, ROI, by showing video ads to people interested in their product or their service. For a broader scope, with YouTube's vast network, your video ads can reach potential customers on your remarketing lists. Efficient pricing is important. I want to spend a few moments on that. The AdWords auction model offers competitive rates that meet your target ROI. With CPV bidding, you'll pay for video views and other video interactions such as clicks on the call to action layover, which is also known as CTAs, cards, and companion banners. And then flexibility plays in here. Website remarketing, also known as remessaging or retargeting, and you can hear them, you know, all three of those be somewhat interchangeable, is based on visitors' actions on a website. You can remarket based on the actions specific to your YouTube videos, including when viewers like, dislike, comment on, and share your video. So how it works, I'll put information on the show notes page. And let's see here. Once you link accounts, you can create remarketing lists that reach people who have done the following YouTube-related actions. View any video from a channel. You can viewed certain videos. You can find out who viewed any video as an ad from a channel, or who viewed certain videos as in ads, who subscribed to a channel, who visited the channel page, link any video from a channel, add any video from a channel to a playlist, comment on any video from a channel, and then shared any videos from a channel. You can then use these lists in your targeting settings for new or existing campaigns and manage your list anytime by selecting the shared library. Then I want you to select audiences and or audience manager. And remarketing lists can't be created from views from bumper ads. Just as a little FYI, all right? The list size is important. For initial list size, you can either pull list members from the last 30 days of activity on your channel or start fresh. Now, it's important that you understand if you have multiple YouTube channels, you can link more than one YouTube channel to your AdWords account. All right. A lot of people get confusion there. Let me say it one more time. If you have multiple YouTube channels, yes, you can link more than one YouTube channel to your AdWords campaign. All right. Now, while you can create several lists per channel, you can't use the same list on multiple channels. It's really confusing. It causes a lot of pause for people. I'll do that one more time. All right. Just for you. So you can then explain it to somebody else. If you have multiple YouTube channels, you can link more than one YouTube channel to your AdWords campaign. While you can create several lists per channel, you can't use the same lists on multiple channels. Okay? Good. Now for best practices, I want you to make the most of your video marketing list by exploring these features. Various ad formats. Now the reason you want to do that is you want to build and target your remarketing campaign with video ads and other creative formats. And that includes text or images, rich media, ads on the Google Display Network. So let's take a moment. We'll talk about detailed reports. You want to optimize your remarketing campaigns based on the performance metrics. For example, raise bids on specific topics or channels that generate the greatest ad response. Okay. And it's pretty easy to use. It's easy to create, to manage, to target your remarketing lists, and you can create custom audiences. Customize your targeting by combining your remarketing lists. Like, for example, you can reach audiences who viewed your movie trailer but haven't yet viewed your ad promoting the DVD release. Okay. And here's some latest news about YouTube as it fits into this topic. YouTube on Monday released a CPM-based pricing model for its skippable video format called TrueView for Reach. This pricing model, and this I'm reading right out of AdExchange for you, and I'll put this article up there for you. This pricing model optimizes not for viewability, but for on-target reach, similar to YouTube's six-second bumper ad format. Now, previously, TrueView ads were transacted on cost per view. with YouTube charging advertisers once customers viewed the video ad for at least 30 seconds or through to completion, or when they took a certain action, right? Like clicked on the call to action button. So when users opted out of viewing the video after, let's say, 5 seconds, the advertisers got 5 seconds of free branding. But Google argued that when customers viewed the entire ad, it also signified serious intent, right? Let me give you an example out of my own life. I don't knit. Big revelation, right? I'm not a knitter. I'm not making like sweaters or caps or baby booties, knitting it together. But my mom crushes YouTube videos about knitting. So if I started a knitting video, which I've never watched a knitting video, but if I started a knitting video, I wouldn't watch it to completion, but my mom would. Why? Because my mom has hyper relevance to that video, and that would make her the perfect target customer, because not only is she interested, but she's declaring interest by watching the video all the way through. Okay? So when users opted out of viewing the video after the first 5 seconds, the advertisers got 5 seconds of free branding. But Google argued that when customers viewed the entire ad, it also signified serious intent. So TrueView for reach bridges the gap between its 6-second bumper ads and its most popular format, TrueView. TrueView for reach can help brands raise awareness among a broad audience, and to do so within our being Google talking, YouTube talking, within our 95% viewable and 95% audible environment. Debbie Weinstein, managing director of YouTube Video Global Solutions, told AdExchanger. Now, TrueView for reach offers targeting based on user affinity in market users and remarketing segments. Now, these targeting parameters are also available through TrueView's viewability-based model and its performance-based model, which Google continues to support. Google is switching up its pricing mechanism, basically, because advertisers like Under Armour wanted more consistency and simplicity when transacting on video. So if you don't like this, I say blame Under Armour, all right? Under Armour, for instance, used 6-second bumper ads to reinforce product messaging on YouTube to ensure certain frequency of messages. By coupling TrueView for reach with 6-second ads, it's looking to drive reach and awareness as well as frequency. Now, if you want a deep dive on this article, it'll be on the show notes page for this episode. You're going to look for the AdExchanger article about TrueView, YouTube, and Google, and you'll find it on the show notes page, wirebuzz.com/148. Ooh, and then I saw this article from Greg Finn, the director of marketing of Cypress North, a company that provides world-class social media and search marketing services and web and application development. Now, I've been lucky to work with Greg a few times as a search marketing land conference moderator. You know, Greg had asked me a few times to speak for them. Good dude. So when I saw his latest episode on search engine land, I just knew it would be valuable to you. Now, check this out. Greg says, AdWords advertisers just got a brand new video option. It's a video ad option for their arsenal. The new format, Outstream Video Ads, will operate on mobile devices across Google Video partner mobile sites and apps. Now, unlike TrueView in-stream ads or bumper ads, the new Outstream Video Ads won't require placement within a YouTube video, okay? It's out of the stream, all right? That's an easy way to remember it. Now, this is a fundamental change. It gives advertisers the ability to reach an audience when YouTube video isn't present. The video will appear in banners for mobile web placement and as banners, interstitials, in-feed, and native ads, both portrait and landscape. The format looks strikingly similar to the popular responsive ads that are currently run across the Google Display Network. The videos will run without sound once they come into view, and a tap from the user will turn sound on. The user will also be able to restart the video. Now, the reason we like this is because motion. The video has motion when somebody's going through a web page and they see the motion of the video playing, it catches their eye, right? It is an attention hack, a pattern interrupt. And you want to use those to your advantage. Outstream ads can be purchased on a viewable CPM model, okay? And the ads will only show on Google Video Partner sites or apps for now, and Google will enhance the look with a message, logo, and link, similar to responsive ads. Advertisers will need to include the following: the video, your logo, your headline, your description, your final URL, and an optional thumbnail. All of those are important if you want to get success at the end. To set up an Outstream video ad campaign, advertisers will create a new video campaign using the goal of brand awareness and reach, and choose Outstream as the campaign subtype. You'll then be able to set bids and start and end dates. That article will also be on the show notes page, wirebuzz.com/148. Now, speaking of search engine land and good friends, good friend of the podcast, Barry Schwartz, is reporting Google has posted on Twitter that it released a broad core algorithm update this past Monday. Google said it routinely does updates throughout the year and referenced the communication from previous core updates. Google explained that core search engine updates happen several times per year, and while some sites may only note drops or gains, there's nothing specific a site can do to tweak its rankings around these updates. In general, Google says to continue to improve your overall site quality. I want you to think about quality. And the next time Google runs these updates, hopefully your website will be rewarded. Now, Google explained that pages that were previously under-rewarded would see a benefit from these core updates. Sound confusing? I totally agree. If you really want to know how to protect yourself, because that's got to be going in your head. Geez, all these Google changes, and they happen all year, and they're not explained when, and if I change, I might not see any progress, la-di-da-da-da, right? Well, if you really want to know how to protect yourself from every Google algorithm update, here's the guiding principle that I have followed since Google launched, and it's so solid that none of my clients have ever been negatively impacted by a Google algo update. And all you have to do is create really great, really valuable, compelling content that is helpful to your target audience. That is it. If you're spending any time investing any of your resources, strategizing any way to undermine the system, to game the Google system, you run the risk of being penalized, all right? But valuable content benefits everyone. Helpful content benefits everyone. Creating something that is the definitive guide in your industry to a specific topic helps everyone, including Google. Content is king, and Google is the deep state, all right? That elevates the most valuable kings of content. Now, while we're on this topic of Google, Mashable is reporting, Google appears poised to drop some game-changing updates on Gmail. Now, I've been telling my audiences about this while I've been traveling through Europe, and it's important now to bring you up to date. Quote, we're making some major updates to Gmail, and they're still in the draft phase, a spokesperson explained to Mashable. Now, some of this has been released just in the last couple of days. quote, we need a bit more time to compose ourselves, so can't share anything yet. Archive this for now, and we'll let you know when it's time to hit send. All right, the major updates, they sound promising. The Verge managed to get its hands on an email G Suite administrator, which said that Google's going to be introducing some new features inside of Gmail. And I know from my speeches that this is the first major Gmail update in a very long time. They spent 2 years working on it behind the scenes. Oh, and let me just stop right here for a second. You guys know what kind of a nerd I am and how much I like to know where the road is going. Well, on my KLM flight across the pond, I flew from Salt Lake City, Utah to Amsterdam. And on my flight, sitting on an aisle, was a Google executive working on an internal PowerPoint presentation. I have read the entire thing. He was one row in front of me to the left. I was on an aisle seat. He was on the aisle seat. I read the entire thing. I'll be giving you more information about that. It's internal. The reason I know it's internal is because it was the most stripped down presentation you'll ever see. It had very few little branding. It was not pretty for public consumption. It was an internal, and there were a lot of acronyms. Many of those acronyms I have now researched, and in a short time, I'll bring you up to speed on those. Now, back to, perfect place to sit me, right? Back to the Google update with Gmail. Some other new features, the ability to snooze emails that you can choose to, that they reappear in your inbox later. That's pretty awesome, right? Because often I'm boarding an airplane or I'm just about to run into a meeting. I check my email. I see somebody emailed me and I look at it. And then the next time I look at my email, it's already been open. So I don't think about going back. But if I could snooze and have it flip back to me when I'm in a better time, that's a home run. Smart reply on the web, just like on mobile. So smart reply is when, you know, when you get like a text message or something, and it's already got some smart words that, you know, or sayings, thanks, or thanks so much, or I'll get back to you real soon. It's going to have those kind of quick smart replies. Incidentally, you should know that Google's building that into a bunch of different places inside of the Google ecosystem, those smart replies. How do I know? Because I sat next to the guy on the airplane and I read his internal deck, and it fits in to a lot of areas. And that was the topic that much of his deck was on. Aight? Looking out for you. Also, easy access to G Suite apps. You know, you can access through Gmail easily Google Calendar from within Gmail instead of closing and opening and then switching back. And then sometimes if you're on your phone or you're on your desktop, you've got to open up different applications. And that's where you're internally in your brain, you start feeling like you're going a little bit crazy. All of that is all going to be built inside. And if you've been a long listener of this podcast, you know that about a year ago, I told you about inner app connectivity. I told you that was the next phase of where these apps are headed. In fact, if you want to review that topic, all you have to do is go to wirebuzz.com/130. In episode 130, I talk about this. It's all about what is inner app connectivity and how does it relieve your customers' pain? Now, it's good to see that Google with Gmail is starting this process of building in the inner app connectivities with Gmail and being able to access Google calendars and your G Suite like G Drive. And so I also saw in Mashable that, and let me see if I'm done with that. Give me 2 seconds here with my brain. Let me just process, because I think I added more value in my speech. Let me look at my speech deck. I'll be right back. Oh yeah. All right, I'm back. I have a lot more to share with you. Google is testing self-destructing emails in Gmail. In the compose screen, there's going to be a tiny lock icon called confidential mode. and it says that the recipient won't be able to forward the email content, copy and paste, download, or print the email. Now, this comes directly out of TechCrunch, this article. And, okay, so Google's testing self-destructing emails where people won't be able to, the recipient won't be able to copy it or paste it or download it. You know who thinks that's brilliant? Hillary. She should have came up with that idea. Absolutely brilliant. Self-destructing emails. What could you do with that? My advice, don't. Anything you're going to send via email, anything that you just be prepared. Anything you send via email is something you should be comfortable having on a billboard. Anything, any conversation you're going to have via text message or email should be something you'd be okay with somebody copy pasting and putting on LinkedIn or Facebook. Be very comfortable being a good person. Character is who you are when nobody's looking. Be very careful. Just start cultivating, if you don't already have it, nice responses, being a positive member, and not being a gossiper, all right? Gossipers are problems. Also in Mashable, Apple's HomePod smart speaker is not off to a good start. Now, despite receiving high praise from its incredible sound and from a cadre of tech reviewers, Mashable included, HomePod sales has been really disappointing. Now, Bloomberg reports that HomePod sales are apparently so bad, Apple stores have a stockpile of unsold inventory and have recently cut orders. Check this out. According to the report, market research firm Slice Intelligence estimates HomePod only makes up about 4% of the smart speaker market. Meanwhile, Amazon's Echo has gobbled up 73%. Google Home holds about 14% of that smart speaker market. And Apple has 4%. So what does this really bad sales look like for an Apple store near you? Well, some Apple stores that Bloomberg checked have reportedly sold as few as 10 HomePods in an entire day. And this article, by the way, is on Mashable if you want to get access to it. I find it interesting. Apple rarely swings and misses. And I also find it interesting that Amazon and Facebook and Google and Apple are all trying to sell these voice-activated assistants at the same time are displaying a lack of confidentiality with your own information. And so I don't know how those two reconcile in your home or across the country, but in my home, we've just opted out. I want nothing to do with another device that listens in. And it's not that I'm paranoid or that I say bad things. You know, my wife doesn't say a negative thing about anybody. And I find that so amazingly sexy. All right. It is awesome. In almost 20 years of us being together, I've never heard her say a derogatory, offensive, or demeaning thing about anybody. The worst thing she will say is, I'm uncomfortable in their presence. And if you dissect that, the I'm uncomfortable, she's taking ownership. And that I want to emulate and look up to and aspire to be, because that is as good as life gets, to be around safe people that know how to take ownership of their emotions and they don't label people, right? With that said, in our home, we're not making negative comments about people. We're not dropping F-bombs. If anybody does, it's going to be me. And I rarely do. So the deal here is I just don't like the idea of doing business with people who are displaying that they're less trustworthy with confidential information. That's the core of it. And so you make your choice. You do what you want to do. I wouldn't fault you for doing it. It would just make me uncomfortable. Got it? I take ownership. So anyway, that is the big picture for this episode. Look, if this podcast episode was valuable to you, look, if I'm giving you really great value about how Google, YouTube, and video remarketing can work for your business. Maybe I should tie one other thing here. Why do it? Right? Like, why do it? What's the value of remarketing? Well, you got the word re in there, and you got the word marketing. So remarketing happens after you've already paid to market to somebody, right? You're doing it again. And you can target the people that you've already paid to reach with remarketing and target them on significantly less or smaller budgets than the initial budget that you used to market them. And people don't make buying decisions at their first interaction unless you're selling an impulse product, and few of us really are. So the smartest marketers remarket, follow those people around the internet in a respectful way, meaning not all the time, but regularly and sometimes, and get their messaging back out in front of them so they can bring them back into the buyer's journey. Your buyer's journey that you want a customer to go on is a lot like a highway. People get on that highway with your initial ad, your marketing, that they may see on Google and YouTube. They get off that highway before making a purchase. The final destination always is your purchase of your product or service. Somebody gets off that highway, your customer journey, and then they start doing their own thing. And now they're all over the internet looking at different things and moving on with life. And 2 days later, if you're smart, you remarket to them, put a ad in front of them, and it pulls them back onto your highway where you can bring them to the final destination where they do what? Buy. Got it? Trying to add value. Now, the one last piece here is when you remarket to people, and you're remarketing with video, I want you to segment your list. I want you to segment them by their viewing attention span, how long they stayed on the video. If somebody watched 85% or more of the video, it makes sense that they're more valuable of a lead than somebody who only watched 20%, right? Think about my analogy of how I use or don't use knitting, but my mom does. Like, my mom will watch the whole thing. She'll crush that video. Look at that technique, man. That lady's got quick hands, the way she slides in and out with that yarn or whatever it is, right? I watch my mom sometimes when we're, you know, together and she's knitting, and they're not always the same pattern. News alert, you know, they're all different patterns, and you got to learn them. And every business has its core customer. My mom watches the entire thing. If she watched that video, you should, if you're trying to sell yarn to my mom, spend a larger budget retargeting her and women like her. No offense, dudes, but if you're knitting, well, I don't want to say anything derogatory. Dude, what is wrong with me? I've just been on this trip for too long. My filter is disappearing. So if my mom spends 85% and women like my mom spend 85% or more, spend a larger percentage of your remarketing budget to target them and bring them back onto your highway, your buyer's journey, so they can make that purchase. And spend less of that remarketing budget on losers like me that are only watching 5 or 6 seconds of that video. It's not relevant to us. So I want you to segment your remarketing list by buckets of people, by attention span. Maybe you've got an 85% or larger, a 65% to 85% bucket, and a 50% to 65% bucket, and spend a bulk of your remarketing budget on those people, and forget everybody that's 50% or less. You will be more efficient with your resources. And I'm just dropping knowledge bombs here from my hotel room to give you the latest information. Anyway, that's probably too much. I don't want to spoil you. I need you coming back for more. So if this podcast episode was valuable, and now it's a foregone conclusion, it isn't even if anymore, you know it is, share it with people that you know and are rooting for. Help them elevate their results and speed up their learning curve by introducing them to the Video Marketing Mastery podcast. Now, I've got a couple of giveaways here. I created a mini course on how to guarantee your videos generate a return on investment, ROI. That's what this is all about, right? We're not doing this for vanity. We're doing this to generate a return on investment. So I want you to take your videos and I want you to start thinking about what is the right way to do it. And as you start to think about it, take a few moments and go and watch my ROI mini course. It is free to the listeners of this podcast, and you can get access to it at wirebuzz.com/ROI, what it's all about, right? wirebuzz.com/ROI. And if you want a 30-minute webinar of me teaching the principles, including the highway, the roadmap, the on-ramps and off-ramps and the retargeting and what videos you should be using, I've created a course on how to hack the attention of your prospects and move them through a buyer's journey at accelerated rates. And that is, that is available at wirebuzz.com/speedo. Why speedo? Memorable. And in the first 2 minutes, I share the most embarrassing story of my life. And yes, I'm rocking a speedo in public for a reason. wirebuzz.com/speedo. And if you want to make sure that each and every episode, no matter where I am in El Mundo speaking, you can get access to it at Stitcher, Google Play, or iTunes, all right? And if you hit the subscribe button, each and every episode will be sent directly to your inbox, to your mobile device, right? So wherever you are, if you're in the mall, if you're buying knitting yarn and you want to go through the store and learn at the same time, or you're at the gym like I do it, or on an airplane like I always am, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, you'll get the latest updates from wherever I am. All right? Peace out. Hope you have a great one. Off to Amsterdam next, and I'll make sure to bring you up along the journey on the road to making myself and you a better video marketing master. Peace.